You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, a podcast for spiritual souls on their journey of enlightening the world. I'm your host, Stephanie Powers. Welcome.
Security never satisfies. And in insecurity, there is fear. Fear that the relationship can be lost. But that is part of being alive. Everything can be lost. Nothing is certain. And that's why everything is so beautiful. And that's why you need not postpone for a single moment. If you want to love a person, love them here. Love them now. Because nobody knows what is going to happen in the next moment. The next moment, there may be no possibility for love. And then you will repent for the whole of your life. You could have loved. You could have lived. Then remorse surrounds a person. Repentance and a deep guilt is felt, as if you have been committing suicide. Life is uncertain, and there is no way to make it certain. Now, it's a little grim. This is a book written by a Sagittarius named Osho. I know a lot of you know who he is. It's called Intimacy. I've been reading it, and you guys hear me post a lot of quotes on Instagram, talk a lot about it in the podcast lately, but it's a book called Intimacy, and it's about trusting oneself and the other. What do you think about that, Baby Jay?
That was a really powerful opening statement.
You stopped and looked at me.
Shit. Yeah, that was...
Yeah, it's a really good book. I mean, and this chapter I'm reading is about security. Which our Scorpio moon and Scorpio side, the most possessive soulmate, deep love, we need to read because we think relationships should be held tight. You need to stay with this person forever and love them forever. But he goes on to say that really, human nature is people come, people go. And, I mean, just applying that to us, I can't think of us coming and going from each other's lives, but if it were to happen, I would never hate you, I would never have animosity, I would be heartbroken, but then another person would come along, and it would never replace the shade. You and I love to use that different shade of love.
Well, and two, I mean, we don't live forever either.
Yes.
So, nothing last forever.
Yeah, we always say that. And, you know, I struggle with my brother's impending death because he's struggling with epilepsy. I worry about that every single day. We had an episode in my family today where my brother had many seizures in a row, and you can hear my voice, my energy, it really eats at me. But with something like epilepsy, any call, any day could be, okay, the seizure finally took his life, happened, and he's gone. So it's been curse sometimes because it's like, why would anybody have to go through this? But also a blessing because no matter what happens to my brother, whether he stays alive or he passes away, I am okay with death. I accept it and I apply what I've learned and the pain I've gone through his almost decade now of epilepsy to realizing that anybody can be diagnosed with anything at any time or anybody could be taken away via an accident anytime.
Yeah, it makes you have a newfound appreciation for the present.
Yeah, for sure. And life is so short. I know that, what a cliche quote. It's probably all over t-shirts at Target. But it really is. And that leads me into what we want to talk about in the podcast this week, what I just told everybody on Instagram. We're going to talk about leaving. Why do we torture ourselves? Like this book said, he was really drastic and said it's committing suicide, you know, figuratively speaking. When you stay in a job you know you don't like or you don't want to grow a career in. When you stay living in a town or a state that you don't want to build a house and plant roots in. And most importantly, the number one thing in our life, when you stay in a relationship that you know you're not supposed to be in. You know you're not in love. You know this isn't someone you want to spend the rest of your life with. Your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s. Why do we do that?
Fear. I guess fear in multiple senses of the word. Fear of being alone. Fear of the unknown in all aspects. Just... Mm-hmm. I think it's fear. I think we all have...
Mm-hmm. Why don't we trust ourselves?
I don't know. When it comes to relationships, I think the number one thing is... And maybe not just relationships as far as lovers, but like family, walking away from family in certain situations when you need to put the drawbridge up, like you've talked about. You know, like we fear that we're going to be alone and we're going to be empty. Like we're basically not valuing ourselves enough to say we're whole without anybody.
Yeah, what's wrong with being alone?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to an extent. Like, I look at my mom, who's 58 and single, and I'm like, man, I wish she had someone to take care of her. Mm-hmm. But, like, a lot of my audience is 20s, 30s, maybe 40s. And it's just like, you're going to meet so many more people. And once you clear your space and your table of people not meant for you, you open up the door to that. And that's been the resounding question on my coaching calls for the past week and a half, is people asking me, Steph, how did you leave? How did you leave your corporate job? How did you leave your marriage? How? Like, I know I need to. I know I'm not in love, but, like, what do I do? And I'm so glad you're joining me on the show, because you also had to leave a marriage, and yours was more difficult than mine, because all I had to do was split a dog. You have to split custody with two children. So yeah. For you, it's no wonder your divorce process was twice as long as mine, because you got... there's so much more emotions and legalities tied to what you had to do, whereas mine was as simple as having that really tough conversation where you dropped the D word, divorce, and then getting papers and signing them and all that shit. Yours comes with two kids, so we're going to get your side of it. But basically, guys, when you ask me, Steph, how do you leave a relationship? How do you leave a marriage? You have to have the talk, and there's never going to be a time where all your ducks are in a row. Of course, before I left, I wanted to say, okay, I have X amount of money, I've got a job lined up, I've got housing lined up, okay, now I can leave. But that's selfish, and I have respect for my ex-husband, and I finally realized that by me staying out of fear of hurting his feelings, fear of making him cry, fear of abandoning him and making him feel alone, I was actually doing him a disservice and, like, spitting in his face, rubbing salt in the wound by holding on and staying rather than releasing him to go find someone who would truly, deeply, unconditionally love him. You see that? So it was in that moment where I just had this epiphany as I was watching the sunset over the Rocky Mountains from my apartment downtown Denver, Colorado. It just hit me like a ton of bricks, and I thought, I am preventing him. I'm over here sitting like, oh, I can't tell him, I can't tell him. I'm so scared. I'm going to hurt his feelings so bad. He's going to cry, and it's going to break my heart hurting his feelings so bad. But what hurts their feelings more? That one moment where you're honest and say, I love you as a person, but I don't love you as a partner, and letting them go versus stringing them along for years. And they're not dumb. They can feel that mismatch in energy. Your partner can feel it. Whether they bring it up or not is on them, but they can feel it. If you truly love someone and truly have respect, you'll let them go to go find real love. You'll understand that it's not with you, and you'll let them go. So I just had that epiphany hit me one night, and then I took it a step further. I knew my ex-husband wanted to be a father someday. He really wanted to have kids. And I thought, wow, I'm really fucking with destiny and fate right now, because here I am holding on thinking, man, I can't hurt his feelings. But not only am I preventing him from finding love, I'm preventing him from having those kids. Those little spirit babies that are floating around like, yo, we want to come meet our dad. Like, get out of the way. I'm just sitting there messing with that. And maybe that's my Scorpio side going that deep with it, but it's true. And most importantly, I circled back to me. I wanted to find unconditional love. I want to have children someday. And by holding on to making somebody else feel comfortable and happy, I was blocking that. So I thought of the faces of my children saying, Mom, we want to come meet you. We want to come Earthside. We have a mission to accomplish. But the more you just twiddle your thumbs in the wrong situation, the longer we have to wait. Please stop. And it was in that moment I said, okay, this conversation is going to be really awkward. It's going to be really tough. There's going to be tears. It's going to be silent and really uncomfortable silence, anger, confusion. But it's going to be worth it. Thanks for listening to that, baby.
That's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Because mine is complete opposite. mine.
Well, share yours, because everybody listening has such different types. Some people resonate with mine. Some are going to be like, baby, Jay, take the mic. We feel your story more. So go ahead.
So mine, I would say, was I felt the same. I felt, you know, like, oh, I don't want to hurt. I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to, you know, we have children. I can't, you know, I can't do this. I'm being a piece of shit dad or a person if I do. But then it got down to, like, wait, no, I've been manipulated and abused, like, and trapped, you know, for 13 years. Like, no, F this. Like, I'm choosing me. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever your future is, it is. And maybe that's me being a bad light worker at the time. I don't know, but I'm ready to choose me. Mm-hmm. Whatever, if your path involves A, B, C, like, I really don't care, because I know my path involves X, Y, Z, and I deserve to have this happiness. I deserve all the things that I feel like were taken from me the past 13 years. So I don't wish any ill will, but at the same time, I wish all the good on me right now.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and I have had a lot of epiphanies about our ex-spouses, because when I first met you, we were talking about them. We both were like, yeah, we have a lot of love and respect for our ex-spouses and always want them to have the best and wish them so well, but it's just not for me. We were super nice about it. I mean, you and I both were like, yeah, our ultimate goal was to be friends with them. But, you know, I'll let you take the mic in a second to share how that's turned out for you. For me, my ex-partner just had so much anger towards me, which I didn't expect. And just anger, lots of anger. And even today, I look back and I reflect on it and I think, wait a second. I wanted to be friends with him because I wanted to make sure he was okay and that he found a lovely partner and that his finance and his work was good. But would he ever sit and turn the tables and say, and reach out to me and say, Steph, are you good? Are your relationships good? Are you with a good partner? How's Lightworkers Lounge going? Are you growing it? Is it good? No. No. He wouldn't. And it's not in like a conniving, mean way. He just didn't care as much as I thought I did. So then that was really eye-opening for me. It's like, wait a second. I would reach out and say, you good? But would he? No. Never. So that was eye-opening, showing me that it's not love.
Mm-mm.
Like, the way you look at me, the way you watch me, the way you pay so much close attention to the details of my being and know when I'm sad even though I'm smiling, and know my routine, and know what I want in the morning. Like, I was with someone for 10 years who couldn't look at me when I was sad or when I was happy and say, yeah, but what's really wrong? So for that long, I convinced myself I was in love, and it was healthy, and we were friends. But now that I've got you, and I've got my soul tribe, it's like, wow, that's definitely not what it was. It was literally just a hollow trauma bond.
Yeah. That you held on to in fear of hurting him because you weren't worried about you.
No. I literally gave my all. And like, what's funny is I had, of course, there's the financial aspect of it. And like, we're going to get real, real here. That when you leave someone, people are afraid to talk about this because it makes you seem selfish. But of course, everybody thinks it. When you're sharing a life and finances and housing and all that shit with someone, when you want to leave, that pops up. Well, okay, how can I financially make it on my own? I was just as terrified. I really didn't know. To be honest, I didn't have that much in savings. I had a job, a remote job, so I knew I would continuously bring in some sort of income every week. I was a contract health coach, so it's hit or miss. I could make a lot or I could make nothing. But I knew, I just said, well, whatever, I'll get a part-time job wherever I go to make sure I make ends meet. But it crossed my mind, of course. And honestly, if I had more money, I would have left way sooner. Does that make me a bad person?
No, I think the whole perception of the brand Lightworker, too many people think it means doing what's right for other people.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like, being a lightworker means doing what's right period. And a lot of times that's doing what's right for you. Like, if you do what's right for you, you're going to have integrity in the things that you do for others. Not, and I mean serving others, like being a light worker doesn't mean constantly pleasing others, harming yourself. Yeah. Staying in relationships you know you shouldn't be in, staying around people that you know you shouldn't be around, all because you feel like you need to help them. You need to pick them up. No, being a light worker means doing what's right for you and doing what's right for those who deserve you.
Yep. Being a light worker, everybody's a light worker. I'll remind you guys of this all the time. Everybody is a light worker. Your dog is a light worker. Your cat is. Your uncle who thinks you're a witch for studying astrology is. Everybody is. It's just a matter of who's awakened to it or not. We're all here to make this planet a better place, to fix the really heavy energies that are currently floating around. But you can't do that. You can't be patient and be rooted and grounded in who you really are if you don't know, because you lost yourself to pleasing other people.
Yeah, it's called living your truth, mm-hmm. not living a truth for somebody else.
Yeah.
Like you said, you don't have to be a fucking starseed or indigo child
to
be a light worker. Like, everyone is a light worker. We all have a purpose.
My favorite thing is when people say, I'm an empath, so I feel this way. I'm like, yeah, you and everybody else. Everybody's an empath.
Yeah.
The people who you look at and say, that person's not an empath, they're an asshole, it's because they're so enshrouded with ego and lost and don't know who they are that they can't tune into those empathic abilities. Everybody is an empath to some degree. So, of course, it's hard to leave relationships and jobs and places you live because of fear, because you don't want to hurt feelings.
So you don't want to hurt feelings, like in my case, you're going to be met with animosity. You're going to be met with anger. You're going to be met with emotions that your entire life, because of conditioning that you don't want to face because they're awkward. They hurt.
Yeah.
They make you feel things that bring up past trauma. That's just, so why live in that uncomfortable space? But that's where real growth happens.
That's right.
Always, period. Whether it's business or life, like every aspect of your life, the most growth, and you've said this over and over, like the most growth happens in the uncomfortable space.
Yep. That's right. One thing I feel compelled to bring up, I don't know why, is the family and the friends aspect of it. Like, when you leave a relationship, a long-term relationship, or a marriage, like you and I, we had to leave marriages. There's the financial aspect of it, of how will I make it on my own. There's your own shit between you two, and that's going to be tough. But then comes the announcement to friends and family. That's a key part.
Yeah.
A lot of people stay together because they think, oh my God, I can't. My family would be, they love him. They'd be so sad. Oh, my family looks at her as a daughter, as a family member. They'd be so sad. It was tough. And I definitely had some quote unquote friends come at me in a negative way, like, what the fuck are you doing? But you tune that noise out, because real people whose opinions matter won't come at you with shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are, they don't have any room at your table. Brush it off. And what's interesting is those people that came at me with anger during my divorce eventually circled back and said, hey, I'm sorry. I get it now.
Yeah.
It took a year or two, but they did. And there's nobody now that says, no, I still think y'all should have stayed together. Nobody. They see how happy I am with you, and they think, wow, I'm actually inspired to live my truth because look at what you created. Yeah. So when you left your marriage, I mean, especially having kids with someone you were met, how would the families take it?
Yeah, I was met with all the same emotions that I did not want to face, which is why I left and went back, and then ended up leaving again whenever I decided like my real truth. But I was met with anger. I was met with the animosity. I was met with, well, you know, you're going to have to pay child support now and support yourself. Like, how are you going to do that? Like, there's just so much projection that it's like, oh my God, everyone's right. And if I'm being a quote unquote good light worker, that would mean I fit the perception of what everyone else thinks I should be, and I should stay, and I should figure things out. Maybe it's me. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, all that boils is more animosity within yourself. Like
towards yourself.
Yeah, like when mm-hmm. you know. And if you're like some that I see out there that are working through things, then that means apparently you didn't know it was right to leave. But when you know something is not meant for you.
You know.
And you know, don't go back on your impulse. Like that's that's like slapping. You might as well punch yourself in the face.
Yeah.
Like you're doing yourself a disservice. Forget, take away the whole light worker, I got to be nice to everyone else, and think about you for a minute. So.
Hell yeah. And you know, you and I, with our Scorpio moons, we are devoted to a T. So it was not easy. It wasn't a cakewalk to look at our ex-spouses and say, yeah, we're leaving, we're done. It was not an easy decision on our hearts. And you and I both put in effort between marriage counseling, reading, researching, trying new things. Like, I tried everything. Tried doing fun activities, traveling together, going to therapy. I went to therapy. We never went to marriage counseling because he didn't agree with it, but I went. I tried. I was like, I'm a wife. I'm taking this role seriously. I want to say I said vows, but you guys know my wedding story. I literally couldn't say vows because a tropical storm blew on the ocean or on the beach where I was getting married. But I tried. I tried. And 5 years into it, I was like, how I knew it was time to leave and I had no choice, many reasons, but when I would do the things that are supposed to fix you, it only made me grow resentment.
Yep.
And I was like, wait a second, we're supposed to travel and like we would set up some really romantic things and like it was like a scene out of The Notebook, but I was repulsed. I was absolutely repulsed and I thought, I'm broken. Something's wrong with me. This is what people dream of in relationships. Like, what? But it made me, like, grow animosity towards him. And, like, one time I physically pushed him away and said, get away. I just need to breathe. I don't want to be near you. And I thought, what? The poor dude. Like, he's over there like, what?
No.
But I tried. And that's how I knew it was over. So I was like, there's no going back from this.
Yeah, I only grew further away the more that her and everyone tried to make us grow together, and even doing the things that you should, you know, quote unquote, go to marriage counseling, try this. I went to one counseling session, and the guy looked at me like, oh wow, you are not in love.
Didn't he actually say those words mm-hmm. in front of you and your ex-wife?
Yeah, he let me spit my side of the story and told her, sit there, be quiet. Don't say a word, and let him recreate what he feels like is his truth. And as I did, and I started, she basically wasn't even in the room to me anymore. Mm-hmm. It was like just him and I. And I was talking, and then he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he was talking about love language. I remember that. He was talking about love language. And I was like, well, I think he thought I wasn't going to know what love language was. And he was like, have you ever heard of it? And I was like, yeah. Boom, 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 boom. He's like, oh, shit, okay. He's like, well, what is yours? The way you like to give and receive. And I spit mine out. And then he remembered from her conversation that, wow, these don't line up at all. And then I had so much animosity that a lot of stuff I didn't even realize until I had a safe space to talk about it, even mm-hmm. with her in the room, that it was like, oh, wow. And as he looked at me and I looked at him, it was like, yeah, you're not in love. You're not in love. Ugh. Like, and I walked out. I walked out of that office that day with a smile on my face.
Because you felt heard and validated.
Because I felt heard
first person
and validated in my true feelings, because everyone else had said before, there's something wrong with you. How could you not love somebody like this?
Mm-hmm.
And inside of me, it's like, we all don't really know the real her.
Right.
But maybe I am the bad person, like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do want to go away and go fish every once in a while and go do things that make me happy, but where I grew up, that's apparently not what you're supposed to do. So shit, maybe I am the bad guy.
Nope.
And now, completely outside the fishbowl, I'm like, oh wow, poor you, JL.
Yeah.
Poor you.
Yeah.
Speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let that shit happen again.
And you and I have many episodes that you guys can go back on. Baby J and I have been recording episodes about our marriages and twin flames and soulmates. And we both got quite the colorful history with spiritual relationships. But something else that's very common that I hear in my coaching calls is people are already talking to other people. Like, they are in marriages or they're in long-term relationships. And I'll pull tarot cards for them and I'll be like, okay, who else is in the picture? And they'll give me a smirk and say, okay. So I've been talking to my old boyfriend from high school. Or, okay, so yeah, I do have a really cute coworker who, and I'm just like, I get it. Don't be ashamed to tell me these things. A lot of people think I'm judging them, but you guys, come on, you know better. I'm like, I get it. I understand. But if you are already feeling like you're out of love with that person and you're already communicating with someone, even if you have not had sex with them, kissed them, gone on a date, nothing, you're just talking to them, what do you think, Baby J?
That's where you got to step in to being a light worker, which is a person doing things with integrity in your sense of integrity. And that means
leave.
Because apparently you deserve something better.
Yeah. So, and they do too.
And they do too.
And
so,
they do too.
Yeah. Yep. Go back to, you started talking about work or whatever, and then we started talking about relationship, but back on work, and I can jump around, but when you were working your 9 to 5, and you knew, like, what was the exact moment when you knew, again, just like the relationship, like, there was a moment when you know, when it came to work and career, what was the moment you knew?
It was time to leave.
Yeah.
I was down here in the Keys, and I asked the universe for a sign, and I saw a shooting star. I was communicating with my guides, and they were just like, listen, we'll give you the sign, but we're not down there in 3D land. You have to do the tough human stuff, but we'll tell you, like, we'll give you the nod, the wink, that yeah, go ahead and do it. And they did. They did. And so I was like, oh, shit, there it is. There's that green flashing star. Fuck, okay. I was smiling, but I was also like, oh shit, game on. So when we packed up and flew back to Carolina, I remember being so... I have a picture that I took of myself while I was on the phone with my manager saying, hey, yep, I know this is random and it's smack dab in the middle of busy season, but I quit. He was like silent, and then he said something like, Steph, I've been waiting for you to say this. You, because he knew I was into photography. He knew my passion for holistic health. And he was like, you don't belong here. Like, go out there. Like, you belong somewhere way better than this. But I was so fucking nervous just thinking about what he was going to think, what my team members were going to think, about money. I had a rash all over my neck and my chest and sides of my face, just red rash. And I used to get that quite often, and it was because I wasn't speaking my truth. So when I did, it was like all releasing. So anger and sadness, emotions release from your throat chakra, which is on your neck, which is where I would get rashy. So you know what? Ever since that day, I have not had a rash on my neck or my chest because I spoke my fucking truth. And here I am living my truth.
Fist bump.
Yeah. So that's how. The universe gave me the nod and said, do it. And I was like, okay, you gave me your promise. Now I got to keep mine and go back and do it. And of course, we just did a Q&A on my personal Instagram, at Stephanie's_destiny. Come find me. And I wish I had her name. But she said, well, what do you do after you leave? So that's a good point. You leave the job, you leave the relationship, but then what? Because that shit ain't butterflies and rainbows.
You take fucking action on the shit that you
always wanted to do. Yeah.
Like, you had the thought of why you wanted to leave the relationship. And so, which means you have a thought of what you want out of yourself and somebody else. So go live the thought of what you know you are and what you deserve. And, like, career-wise, too. If you're going to leave a career knowing that you want something more, you're going to have a thought of what more is. And whatever more is, go after that. Like, so with you, it was that way. With me, in my career, I wasn't always spiritual. I was so captivated by ego that it was grass is always greener. So if I were working for somebody in my younger years and another company came in and offered more money, I was like, okay, you know, hey, 20,000 more a year, let's go. And then that would fall because A, the company failed, or B, it wasn't something I was passionate about. So I failed, you know, I failed me, I failed them. But I'm a Virgo, and the way I'm wired, right before that failed, I had a backup plan.
I didn't.
You know what I mean? So I had a backup plan. I've never not had a backup plan, so I had a backup plan.
I've never had a backup plan in my goddamn life.
Woo, we different that way. But I had a backup plan, so it was like, okay. And then it got to a point where it's like, okay, now you're self-employed, and now there is no backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to lean on you. But, I don't, yeah, leaving a 9-to-5-ish career and being... knowing that I wanted to be self-employed, even though I wasn't truly really understanding what I really wanted to do yet, but I knew I wanted to be self-employed. I was surrounded by family that was always self-employed. So leaving the 9-to-5, it was like, why do I keep not fully succeeding at this 9-to-5 when my skill set and my drive and my determination is off the fucking charts and everyone knows it?
Yep.
But yet... I'm no better than Joe Blow next door because I don't have the true passion behind what I'm doing. I don't have the true care. I'm just doing it for the money.
Yep.
And that's when I realized, like, wow, okay, I've always wanted to be self-employed. Let's do it. Let's go do it.
Same here. When I worked at corporate 9-to-5, I was like, I would still get shit and get, like, graded, like, this is how good your work is. Oh, you stuff, your work could be better. And I remember being like, I don't give a fuck. This doesn't matter. There are starving children, there are starving animals being tortured. Like, I don't give a flying fuck about health insurance. This doesn't fucking matter. It's all a scam anyway. So I didn't care, but there was still drama and bullshit at that job. And then I started to be working for myself, like, as a freelance photographer. Then the contract health coaching came in, and it still came with its shit. It was much more aligned, and I would close my laptop at the end of the day feeling like I actually made a difference in someone's life, which is what I craved. But I still got shit. There was still drama, people talking shit. So I've come to realize that people are always going to talk shit. There's always going to be something stressful with no matter what your career is. You guys probably look at what I do with Lightworkers Lounge. I know for a fact. You guys look at it and you think, oh my gosh, she's living the dream. I am living the dream. Trust me. I wake up every day and I'm like, what? But it comes with its whole new set of challenges and drama and bullshit.
I'll step in and say the stuff that nobody sees that you don't even see because you're so in the fishbowl trying to get GSD and get things done that...
We say GSD, it means get shit done.
Yeah.
We have our own little language, in case you guys just heard and said, GSD? What the fuck? Get shit done.
We have like 5 or 6 of those. So, but from outside the fishbowl, watching you, and whenever I admire you, and then you're like, man, I've got 75 emails that just popped up. And I'm like, oh, that... It hurts my Virgo side. Like, are you going to put those in a spreadsheet? Or are you just going to go through one by one? So when everybody's like, yeah, she's living the life. Look at her. Like, a lot of people don't realize what it takes to live the life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, you're living the life and your truth, but it takes a lot of fucking effort day in and day out.
It does. And it's hard. I mean, it's very rare, few and far between. But when I get, like, negative comments or negative reviews on iTunes or emails saying, what the fuck are you saying? It's hard because I pour my heart and soul into this podcast. And I'm so open with you guys. I share my family. I mean, come on. People know us so well. I literally unzipped my heart and just throw it out there for them to listen to. So when I do get attacked, that shit hurts. But the same stuff happened when I worked corporate 9-to-5. So I thought, okay, life is always going to come with its set of challenges. Pick your poison. Definitely the poison where I still, at the end of the day, can push away the negativity and say, I'm making a difference. That's all I've wanted to do.
Yeah. Don't chase. When you work at a 9-to-5, normally, and there is some people who are going to listen to this that say, I love my 9-to-5.
Good.
And that's great.
Hell yeah. Like,
you're, if that is your truth.
Stability is dope.
Fuck yeah. If that's your truth, live your truth.
Rock on, sis.
But... a lot of us that have been in the 9-to-5 are chasing money. Mm-hmm. And at some point, to live your truth, you have to chase changing lives.
Yeah.
And that's where you become passionate about your truth, is when you're creating change.
You know also how I got out of mine is I finally, like 6 months before, I asked the universe, should I leave? And I started to do the health coach thing. I was lost, and I was like, wow, I literally don't know what I like to do. I don't know what I want to do. And I finally just got to a point where I was like, okay, I don't know. But what I do know for a fact is I'm not going to retire from this same fucking job. I know that for a fact. I have no idea who, what, where, when, why, how I'll get my way out of it. But I know, intuitively know, that this ain't it. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to stop bitching and moaning and look at the bright side. I had amazing benefits. I had a lot of PTO. And I worked with good people. A lot of them are still my friends now, listening to this right now. I had such a tight work family. And so I just focused on the joy, which is working with wonderful people and wonderful benefits and a very steady paycheck. And as soon as I just focused on that, that's when all these doors outside of it opened up. Photography gigs would fall in my lap. Clients would fall in for holistic health coaching, and then I was able to leave.
Yeah. I think if you... So, like, in my... I'll spit my case. Y'all are... Everyone listen to this. You're ahead of me if you're younger than I am, because it took me until recently to understand how to even ask the universe and my guides, like, for help. Like, shit, I didn't start doing that until 32. Mm-hmm. And now at 33, I know what I want to do, and I know how I want to do it. And don't think, like, yeah, not everybody's story is the same, right? But trust me, I've got child support, I've got kids, I've got a life that I was accustomed to living. I have people that depend on me in my construction side of things, being self-employed. But I know what living my truth is, and I know the career I really want, and that I will that I will lean towards and start getting things going on, is creating videography, creating art. And those are the things that, because of family and just people in my past, I've always thought, oh, I can't do that. I can't make any money doing that. But what I've realized in my self-employment and having my construction company is that I'm not truly passionate about it. So there's always something that pops up that shows me that this isn't really what I'm meant to be doing. And a lot of us get stuck in doing something because we have what we think are responsibilities that we can't get out of. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm willing to go from making big money to potentially being a starving artist, because it's my truth and it's what I really want to do. But at the end of the day, you'll never be starving if you're doing something that you are passionate about and it is aligned with who you really are. Yep. Ever.
I was just about to say, you're not really starving. Mm-mm. Because I lived... Whoa. I just had like a shot of energy go through my right ear. It almost like made me turn like that, and it's ringing. Have you ever had that happen?
Yeah.
What the fuck? It's almost like I'm tone deaf in my right ear.
What is it telling you?
Speak the truth, which is what I'm doing. But you're not going to be a starving artist. I lived in a penthouse suite in Denver, Colorado, like the most beautiful loft apartment with 17-foot windows. Oh, it was gorgeous. But I've never been more alone and miserable and uncomfortable in my life. The happiest I have ever been was backing up into that little treehouse I lived in Marathon, Florida, here in the Florida Keys. Tiny, you've been in it. It's a tiny little bedroom with a tiny little, like, desk. Oh, I wish, I do have pictures, actually. I will show you guys, like, the shit I have worked on to grow Lightworkers Lounge is insane. I didn't even have Wi-Fi. I used a hotspot on my phone. But, and I had a little tiny bathroom that was no bigger than something you'd find in a camper. But I was the happiest. Sandy sheets from playing on the beach all day. Tiny little window. Little tiny treehouse. Happiest I've ever been in my life. Happiest. So that was just the biggest lesson for me. course, it was right after my first Saturn term, but it was like, it doesn't matter what you drive, where you live, what you live in. If you are spending your day doing things you love and you're surrounded by real, authentic soul friends, none of that material shit matters.
No, and don't get it twisted. I'm going to have millions of dollars in the bank to help multiple individuals with.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could ride a bike to do gigs all day long, like, yeah, that would be
you.
That would be me. Yeah. Like, it's,
you know why we're going to attract that? You and I know we're going to have a lot of money someday. It's in both of our birth charts. And it's the same intuitive feeling that told us we were married to the wrong people. Right. Mm-hmm. Is because you and I would be happy as hell, unconditionally happy, if we each made $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
Working 9 to 5.
Yeah.
We would still, if we had a combined income of $60,000 a year, mm-hmm, we would still be so happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that I know for a fact what we are capable of, and in the matter of a split second, we can create whatever we want. Like, it's,
yep,
there's no fear anymore.
Yep.
So if you have no fear, then why would you not leave the relationship? Why would you not leave the career?
Yeah.
I mean, like you've said in multiple podcasts, if y'all go back and listen to them all, like, you say it in multiple podcasts, if somebody told you right now, Steph, 1 year from now, you're going to have $10 million in the bank, everything you ever dreamt of will come true because you've created it. You just got to keep chugging along, keep, mm-hmm, chugging along. Or, hey, you need to make this change. I know it sounds scary,
mm-hmm,
but make this change. Take that leap of faith, and I promise you, it's going to pay off.
Yep.
If somebody guaranteed it to you on paper, would you still be worried? You know, mm-hmm, so why does it take somebody else telling you that? Why can't you tell yourself that?
Yeah. Like, I was just saying that to you today. You always ask, how are the coaching calls today? I said, they're really good. I love them. It's just, you guys always feel like family. It's never like a, nice to meet you. It's always like, oh, how you been? But I find that these calls, you guys know. I just posted a quote about this on Instagram. You guys know. It's 11-11. Make a wish. You know your truth. You know what you want to do. You just want someone to give you confirmation. Here's the quote. Energetically, you know exactly what to do in every situation. You just question it because you were taught not to trust yourself.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's a whole other podcast episode. This book, remember what we read about it?
Mm-hmm.
It literally talks about, from outside the womb, we are taught not to trust ourselves. We're taught what to believe, what religion to believe in.
Yep.
What school to go to.
Yeah. It's,
mm-hmm,
it's like a circus. You got, yeah, some of the craziest animals that could just tear the world apart sitting inside, yeah, a small tent, that have no idea their capabilities because from birth on they've been conditioned to feel, yeah, like they're nothing.
That's right. But you guys know, you've got the confidence that you need to make it succeed. In order to create something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done.
Yep.
And your ego is going to kick and scream and say, wrong, wrong, wrong. But play the then what game. Okay, I want to leave the job. Then what? Then I have to find a new one. Then what? Well, maybe I don't like it as much and doesn't pay as well. Then what? Then I'll just go find another one. Then what? Then I'll keep going until I find one I love. Then what? If you break it down in bite-sized pieces like that, you'll realize that what you are so anxious and worried over, whether it's about leaving a relationship, a job, is not that big of a deal.
Mm-mm. No.
It's not at all.
No. And if there's a quote that I love about working for somebody. If you work for somebody, or even if you're self-employed, a lot of times you're actually working for a customer. You still work for somebody. But it was this last job that I did that I actually walked away from, mm-hmm, that I remembered this quote, and a buddy of mine one day said it. And he said, if you're ever being disrespected or you feel like something's not meant for you when it comes to work,
mm-hmm,
tell yourself, I need a job. I don't need this job.
Ah.
And it always stuck with me. It's like, okay, well, this doesn't feel right. I don't need this job.
I just need a job.
Because we live in a commodity world. But I don't need anything.
that's, you know, without even realizing it, that's been my mindset. When I've never been, like, too much in my ego, like, oh, I can't go work at a smoothie shop, make $10 an hour, I have a bachelor's degree. I've always just looked at it as a new adventure. When I first got my divorce and moved down here to the Keys, I lost my contract health coach job because the company filed bankruptcy, like, literally the day I got here. Talk about universe guiding me. But I was like, that's fine, whatever. I'll just go apply at every single hotel and bed and breakfast, and, yeah, I'll probably make $10 an hour, but... oh my God, it's going to be so fun. I get to talk to all the people coming to the Keys that I love so much, and I just get to pretty much help people have a good time, even if it's just checking them into their hotel. So I was like, fuck yeah, rock on. Yeah. I'll do that. You just look at everything as an adventure, and nothing is permanent if you don't want it to be. No. It was a job.
Yeah, and it's perfectly fine if you're in a situation right now where... you know your truth. You know what you want to do. You know the relationship you deserve. It's perfectly fine to just kind of sit for a second in your thought and really figure out how you're going to take action on something.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I get it. I get it when it comes to leaving a marriage. I get it when it comes to leaving a cushiony job and stepping into the unknown, or where... you definitely could fail, and there is no going back. Like,
but you have that call for a reason. You really think the universe is going to let you completely fall and hit rock bottom? And even if you do, it's teaching you how to get back up.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be down and out. You're not going to be lonely. You're not going to be poor forever. Like that, and this is just speaking on worst case scenario, because that's what we're all afraid of when we leave that job. Oh, I'm going to be poor and... be homeless. Oh, I'm going to be lonely for the rest of my life and leave that marriage. No.
Yeah.
No, it's all temporary. Everything is shifting and moving. But the longer you stay somewhere you don't belong, that shit will manifest as physical disease. You'll have digestive problems. You'll get autoimmunity. That's just the physical aspect. There's the emotional aspect of just feeling resentment and uncomfortable and abandoning yourself.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about leaving a place. Because you and I have both done this. You, most recently... I've moved around all the time since I was 8 years old, so it's not really that difficult for me to leave a place. It's actually more difficult for me to stay in a place because I'm so used to moving. But again, you'll never have your ducks in a row. You'll never be like, okay, it's the perfect time to leave. You just have to do it. Just have to do it.
Yeah, if you try and Virgo it too much, and like, okay, I'm going to have this much. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to live here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to... Mm-hmm. Like, the universe is going to slap you in the face and say, hey, bro, you're not in control.
Okay? Yeah, you're not in control. And it's tough. Yeah. I've lived in so many different places, and each time it's still tough when you have to use your GPS to find a gas station or to just run to the grocery. You got to use your GPS to find your way there. It's not easy. But if your soul is telling you, like, okay, I grew up in the mountains, but I want to live near the beach, go! Guess what? Home, or wherever you live, is always going to be there. It's always there. It ain't going anywhere. So this is what I tell myself. If I move somewhere and it doesn't work out, I turn my ass right around and go back to familiar. And then get settled, get back up on my feet, and try again.
One of my big impulses growing up was in high school. I wanted, and it wasn't because of, I mean, I wasn't bullied. I didn't have a reason to not want to be in my high school. But one of my biggest impulses growing up was wanting to change. Like, I wanted my parents to take me from, you know, Pleasanton, where I went to school, to the town over. Like, I always had this impulse to go experience something else. Like, go be the new kid at a different school.
That's like the opposite of what every teenager wants to stay in their town with their friends. And you're like, nah, I want to leave.
Yeah. My Scorpio moon was like, nah, F this, I'm out. Let's go to this next school. And then maybe sophomore year, let's go to another school. And senior year, like, let's go to another school.
You are wild, child.
Like, I didn't live that. I lived the... you grow up in a small town. You live in a small town. You own a business in a small town. You go to the same restaurant in the small town.
God,
and
barf.
You hear all the same drama in the small town.
My,
like,
Sagittarius self is quivering.
Yeah, so it's... I've had this... and I don't have any Aquarius in my chart, but... I've had this thought, or, like, these impulses and visions of living fucking outer space, I don't know, but just being somewhere else, mm-hmm. knowing that where I lived wasn't really meant for me, mm-hmm. but again, because of conditioning and what I was raised around, you start to question, just like you do your relationships and your career, mm-hmm. well, why do I want to change? Well, because, you know, why do you want to change careers? You can't change careers because your father growing up said if you don't have a good stable job, you're going to be like that homeless guy on the side of the road. Don't want that. You know, don't leave your relationship, because if you do, you're a piece of shit as a man. Mm-hmm. Don't leave that town, because if you do, people are going to wonder, what do you want it running away from?
Yeah. Oh, how many times
it's like, that? Yeah, it's like, go with your impulse, go with your truth. It's, but it wasn't that big a deal to leave. Like it felt like I was going home when I left home. Mm-hmm. What most people would say was my home.
Ooh, you know what that brings up for me is so many times, in my 20s especially, I was seeking validation and I was seeking acceptance and permission. That's the word. I was seeking permission from people, friends and family, especially mama, to do what I wanted to do. And this has been something I've brought up in a lot of my coaching calls too, is why? Why do we seek permission? Oh, because we're taught from a young age to not trust ourselves, and we need permission. Your parents, get permission from your parents. In school, we have to ask to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Get permission to go to the bathroom. So I finally realized through, I don't know, a podcast or a book, something hit home, and I thought, wait a second. I'm asking for permission to go after a certain career from someone who isn't living their dream. I'm asking permission to leave my marriage and acceptance from someone who doesn't have a healthy relationship. What?
Yeah.
No. So now my motto is, don't take advice on anything in life unless that person has what I dream of in the story.
Yeah, and even like asking the universe for guidance. You're not asking the universe for permission to do shit. Mm-mm. You're asking the universe, hey, this is what I'm gonna do, but I need a little guidance on this.
Yep.
So,
or confidence, because yeah. You guys know some of the games I play, like ask a question and hit shuffle on your playlist. Ask the universe, hey, if I'm supposed to move to Colorado, show me a bear. If I'm supposed to stay in Florida, show me a seahorse. You already deep down intuitively know what you want to see, what you hope you'll see. You're just looking for that confidence from the universe, which it'll give you. Your spirit guides will go, oh, this silly person. Okay, fine. Here we go. Here's your sign.
Yeah.
But the worst part is, you guys, I'm going to grab my microphone and shake it. You ask for a sign, and then the universe gives it to you, and you're like, well, it's coincidence. Let me just wait and see another seahorse, because that one was just, I mean, come on, I live in the Keys, there's seahorses everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen, have you seen The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith?
Of course.
Where his little boy's given the example.
Isn't that his real son, Jaden?
Yeah. Yes. So it's probably one of the funniest parts of the movie, when his son's like, the two sailors are drowning in the ocean and they both believe in God. So he's like, you know, hey, don't worry, John, God's going to save us. And a little ship comes by and is like, hey guys, y'all need help? He's like, no, man, we're good. God's going to save us. And like three ships come by,
oh my gosh,
and then they drowned and they get to heaven. And he's like,
"That was
God, you were supposed to save us." He's like, I sent y'all four boats, dummy. Like, listen to the signs. Like, Don't ask for help and then
ignore
the help. So
don't ask for signs and ignore it. That's all your ego coming in to say, well, don't believe in the esoteric. Don't believe in the unseen. F that. Don't believe in the unseen. How come the greatest force on earth can't be measured, can't be seen? Love.
I thought you were talking about my legs. I'm just kidding, everybody. It's It is. Like, there's
yeah.
Okay, I'll say this. A lot of times, too, I feel like my guides, I don't know if other people feel the same way, I feel like my guides are kind of comedians, in a sense.
Oh, they all are.
And
they're laughing at us humans like, you dummies.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, like, I'll ask for guidance on something, and I'll say, it's not simple, but I'll say, hey, show me this or show me this if I'm meant to do this or this. And sometimes I feel like my guys are sitting back going, hey, look, we don't have to show him anything. He knows his truth and what it is, mm-hmm. and his subconscious is going to find the answer.
Ooh.
So let's sit back for a minute and see if he finds the answer before we show him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, show me the bear or show me the seahorse. Oh, mm-hmm. Next day, seahorse. And guides are thinking, see, we didn't even have to step in. He found his truth.
Yep.
But if you need our help, we're here.
We're here. They're always there. They're always, always there for you. And they will communicate with you as soon as you ask.
100%.
That is the God of the day. A lot of things, you know, this all revolves around reparenting yourself. You have to reparent yourself to really make these big moves. I got to know myself throughout my 20s, and I realized that I am so influenced by other people's opinions and energies that I got to a point where I didn't necessarily learn how to lie, but I learned how to just not share certain parts of my life and certain decisions I was making for me with certain people, because I knew what their reaction would be, and I knew that it would affect me negatively and kind of ruin the excitement. It's like when you have this dream. Guess what, everybody? I'm going to be a singer, and I've wanted to be a singer since I was young. And then you know that some people in your life, whether it's parents, siblings, friends, are going to say, it's you and everybody else. You really think you're going to be the next Beyonce? How are you going to make money from this?
Mm-hmm.
They throw these bombs out of good intentions because they just want to see you happy and healthy and wealthy, but it still puts a dampen on your spirit, especially when you're really in tune with your empath abilities.
Yeah.
So be careful and very mindful of who you share it with, and if there's literally no one you can share it with who will be like, yeah, go get it, go for it. That's sad, I know, been there, done that, but it's also okay to keep some of your wildest dreams to yourself while you pursue them. You don't need permission from anyone else but yourself.
Yeah, and a lot of times, it's hard for me. It's always been hard for me to take criticism because criticism is actually fear, the other person's fear. It's not really a criticism of my truth. It's just fear of their own. Like if I were going to say, hey, you know, to family right now, I mean, I've told you guys listening to this podcast and people who follow my platform before, I've even told anybody who's actually blood related to me that photography, videography, creating art is what I'm going to do as my career long term. Because I know if I told them that, I would be met with the same thing you just talked about. Well, why? You do really well with construction. Mm-hmm. You know, you have child support, you have all this. How are you going to make it? Like, hey, that is your fear. That's your fear. Mm-hmm. Like, that's your projection. That's your ideals. I know my truth. So, to protect myself from it, I don't feel the need to share it with certain people. I am not at a place yet with my strength that I know I can tell anybody anything and protect myself
in
that moment.
Not being affected by it.
Yeah, not being affected by it. Like, there's some people who are Aries fire chart crazy that can that can share, and when they don't like what they hear, they go,
whatever.
I don't really give a shit what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's my cancer, I don't know what it is, but I take on the energy of what other people say. So it's okay to not tell a mom or a dad a decision that you know is your truth.
Yes, you're protected.
Yes.
You're protecting that dream. You're protecting that vision. Don't show them until you're there and you're proud of it. And it's like, look what I created.
Yeah.
It'll actually inspire them. They'll be like, holy shit, look at you go.
Look at, there's one example I can give right now. My grandparents have been one that very much grew up in a town, raised children in a town. My mom owned a business in a town, have always had their business in that town, never left that town. And I'm almost positive, I'm going to take credit for it, because they haven't changed in 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of the thing, like the other day, them asking me, hey, are you now living in the Keys? It's like, oh yeah. And them accepting it, which before they would have not done. They would have questioned, like, well, why move there? You are from Texas, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going now? They're selling their place and moving to Costa Rica.
I love it.
And it's like, okay, like,
fuck yeah.
People are going to project, but like Steph said, if you go take action, don't go talk about it, just go be about it.
Yeah.
And once you become it, once you enmesh yourself in it, and you become confident in what you're doing, other people, when you do speak about it, are going to go, wow.
I want to do that.
Holy fuck, okay. I was going to project, but now I can't even project because they're living proof I can do it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's so powerful. Live your truth, because that means you're stepping into your light worker abilities. You're stepping into helping the earth. And I don't even need to go over why we need to help the earth right now. Y'all know you feel it every single day. And I felt compelled to make this podcast episode about how to leave things, because it's on everyone's mind. It's on everybody's mind how to leave certain things and people and places. We just wrapped up this eclipse season with a very powerful new moon in Cancer yesterday. And now we're all ready to clean our slate, clean our table, to welcome in the brand new for the second half of the year. So what's interesting is, as Baby J was talking over there, I tapped into our collective energies to pull a tarot card. And Six of Air fell out. The message of this card is things are looking up. The end of a difficult situation.
Yeah, so go from leaving things to chasing things, to accomplishing things.
Yep, and sit with the uncomfortable. There's going to be days where you think, oh, God, what the fuck did I do? But then the high days where you're like, oh, my God, I did it. I did it. Look at me go. Overshadow those 100%.
Yep.
Baby J, thank you for chatting with me. It always makes recording easier.
I love talking first and foremost, I think.
But. Yeah, and for sharing your story. It's not hard to share these things, and you show up with such grace and ease and be your authentic self, and it's so nice to have a masculine energy and spirituality.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah. You guys can find him on Instagram, @BattlefieldSelf. And if you guys want to book one of these coaching calls that I keep talking about, I would love to virtually meet you. We have 1 hour together over Zoom to talk about anything. I always go over your birth chart with you. I always pull tarot cards for you. And it's just a safe space. It's so sacred. I play music to float to in the background, and we just have a really good time. It's beautiful. And who knows? Maybe Baby J will pop up in the background.
And if you're not already, because I'm even subscribed to it.
Stop it!
Friday bonus chat.
Yeah, I was getting there. If you guys want to book a coaching call, go to lightworkers-lounge.com and click on coaching. And of course, Friday bonus chats, please subscribe. Where me and Baby J talk about our relationship. We really open up about that. Oh, we've talked about everything. I don't know what we're going to talk about this week. We'll talk about triggers, maybe. And people always want to know about co-parenting. And like how I handle it, how you handle it, because it's totally different. So yeah, that's just where we really open up, because it's a much smaller audience, and we just feel much more relaxed to share open, very open things, drop names, and share it all. So go to podbean.lightworkerslounge.com.
Nope. lightworkerslounge.podbean.com. That is lightworkerslounge.podbean.com.
And yep, it'll be in the show notes, too. So, thank you guys so much. I am going to leave you with a song that I found today. It is called, hold on, I'm pulling it up. It's Hard to Be Human by Kina Granis. It's Hard to Be Human by Kina Granis, because it is. It's hard to be human, but it's also incredibly beautiful. And we're all just spirits having a human experience.
Not here for long, guys, so enjoy.
Yeah. I love you guys. I will see you next Wednesday on the show and on Instagram @LightworkersLounge. We are sending you so much love from the Florida Keys to wherever you are listening from. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
See how they sound. We just keep spinning and everyone's hurt. Both of us talking but no one feels hurt. I know you never wanna get me down, but it's a steep road I'm walking on. You know I never wanna get you down, but it's a bit late now. Thank you. just keep trying and keep messing up. Maybe I'm learning and finding my way, but how could I feel this and still be okay? And I'm sitting here staring at the gutter, wondering why I feel sorry for myself. If we keep hurting one another, starts to color how we're doing it